Mike, who's the auto mechanic on frequency? That's not good. What's not good? Was that you that just asked for an auto mechanic? Oh, I don't know if it's serious. Well, it's probably serious, but yeah, this car, it's my work car. It's been sitting, you know, for several hours or more. It puffs out blue oil smoke, like you can tell it's burning oil. Does that just when you start it up, then you never see any sign of it again until it sits again off for another several hours. When you fire it up, it'll puff out blue oil smoke. Weird. Does it smell oily, or could it be cooling? Because my sister had the same car, and they had to replace the motor because it was burning so much coolant. I don't think it's coolant, which would be a head guess, because that's kind of a white, and it has a distinct smell. This is very bluish, oily. I think this is, I'm pretty sure this is oil.
My amateur opinion, or where I would look, is in the valve train, something leaking down after the thing's shut off where it shouldn't be. Accumulate, so you get that little blast when you first start it, but when you're driving, it's the concentration is so low that you don't see it, or, you know, whatever. It's early. I'm not awake yet. I need coffee.
You said that thing's getting up there in miles, yeah? Or piston rings or something like that into the combustion chamber. That's why it immediately, as soon as you start it, it blows out. So it's got to be accumulating a little bit, cooling up in the combustion chamber.
It's not the. It's. You're pretty sure though. It's oil smoke. It's not black, just over rich startup smoke.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. I know the Dakota talks about the antifreeze, that, you know, the head gasket issue and the white smoke. That's kind of white. It has a very distinct antifreeze smell. This is kind of a bluish tinge, and it has a very oil smell. And rich is usually a blackish, a darker. I can't put my finger on that smell.
Yeah, that, remember that black van I had for a long time? That would do it. I think it just gave it a over-rich shot when it would start up, because I went through everything and, you know, never found anything wrong with it other than it puffs a little black smoke when it first started up. But, huh, weird. What is it? What kind of vehicle?
This is like a 2014... Ford Escape. It's like the previous body style of the one my personal one. So, Ford Escape, like 2013-ish, 2014-ish.
Okay. Interesting. Definitely worth taking to somebody look at, though, I would think.
I wonder if it's coming from your turbo. Is this a turbo? Because, yeah, that would be a spot to get some oil in the combustion chain. Huh. I don't know if this is. I think it's an EcoBoost. That's a turbo, right? W8RCY. Good morning. In and out. I've got a cardiology appointment in hours, but I just wanted to say good morning. Everybody have a great day.
Morning, Donald. Have a good day. Good luck at your appointment. Sean, yes, that new body style, I can't remember when I switched over. It was sometime in, 2010-ish, maybe. When they went away from, the traditional-looking square escapes and they went to those things, they're all EcoBoost.
Well, she starts up and runs really well, and everything's fine, and just that whenever I jump in, this morning I hit it, and for a couple, 2-3 seconds, it was just both pipes were billowing out. So maybe on the way home, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. I'll just see how long. I guess that the longer it sits, it probably stops bleeding through wherever it's leaking through to the fuel chain. Probably stops after a time, so I don't know. Okay, well, enough on that. Boring subject, but just had me wondering this morning because I started it up and I forgot something, so I went back in the house and I just realized how bad it was as I walked through the columns of smoke.
Ew, columns of smoke, that's not good. I thought it was just a little Popeye pipe smoke, little smoke ring coming out. I gotta get coffee, and NADNM.
NADDF. Yeah, the good thing, Sean, is that's not your vehicle to worry about.
Yepers. This has been a pretty reliable car. Still is a very good, reliable car. It's got 78. What's it got on it? I can't tell. I read that third digit. I don't know if it's 78. Yeah, 78.6. So it's approaching 79,000 miles on it. It's only had one issue in the whole time I've had it. Had a sensor freak out that was running a little rough. That got fixed pretty easy. So this is something popped up kind of new. I don't know why. So this generally this doesn't feel like a simple problem.
No, usually when there's oil involved, it never is. I'd be curious if you goosed it, if you saw the smoke again. Have you noticed that at all? If you've gotten on the throttle and see any clouds behind you?
Now, like I said, aside from that, when you start it up cold, aside from that puff that comes out, it's more than a puff. It's quite a little bit, and then it clears up after a couple of seconds, and then you never see it again. I've looked for it in the rearview mirror, taking off from a stop, gunning it, things like that, and. Although it's east, I could apply it. While running, it's such a small amount diluted into the system. You don't see it. It doesn't pool until you stop. That does indicate that it's leaking down, for a while after the engine's off to allow it to pool. So it's not a function of running, which is interesting.
Have you had that thing since it was new? Is that how that works for you guys?
Not in this case, yes. This one is actually assigned to me. This one's my car. I pay for it. When I say pay for it, I have to pay the taxes on the use. The rest of the cars are fleet, and so there's not necessarily an individual that runs it from new. But we kind of assign them, but yes, this particular one has been mine from
Well, hopefully it's nothing major, and they can diagnose it and get it in and stop the black smoke from coming out, or the blue smoke, I should say.
Ah, yepper. So what else is exciting and new? Anything good going on your way?
Nope, not much. Just going to work every day. Going up north this weekend for the first time in, I think, 2 years, so that'll be hopefully nice. I think the weather's supposed to be kind of bad. Other than that, just a regular grind. What about you?
Well, short week, obviously. Everybody's, off on Friday, and I took tomorrow off, and only because it lines up with my son. My son's weekend is, he got finally shipped to a day shift, so he goes in at 7 and gets off at 3:30, so we have very similar shifts, and that really helps have a normal life. The shift he was on was just terrible. He just couldn't do nothing with anybody ever. But his weekend is, because he moves, he's the newest guy on days, his weekend is Tuesday and Wednesday. So he's going to have to start the march toward getting a more normalized, 2 days off. Takes a while to get day shift with Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off in that environment. But anyhow, I getting in the weeds there, so I took Wednesday off so that he and I could I got to replace a bunch of black pipe, gas pipe in my house, the one running to the stove and the dryer, and then I have to add an outlet for the new generator, and then close off the one that, or change out the one that was supplying the back lot, or the garage. So I got gas pipe work to do, and he's going to give me a hand with that on Wednesday tomorrow. So that's for tomorrow, and then other than that, we're going to go to the in-laws. My sister-in-law, I love her, she's great, but she seems to be deteriorating fast, and they've got everybody really concerned. So we're going by their place Friday for barbecue and all that good stuff, and that's about the only plans we really have. We've got a relatively small family. We've got my son and my daughter. My son's not married, and my daughter, my son-in-law and two grandkids, and then really the sister-in-law and brother-in-law. That's about the entire family we got in the area. So we all get together, all the time, but just pretty simple.
I don't think a weekend in the middle of the week is such a bad thing, though. At least you can get stuff done. The problem I find myself with on the weekends is I need to run errands, and half the stuff I need to do is not open. But good. Did you take Thursday, too? I was going to ask you that. Or did you just take the one day to do all your home projects and get all that situated?
Nah, just a Wednesday. I thought about it for a hot minute, but just gonna take tomorrow, knock out the project, and go from there. I got the new generator ready to go. I got the new electrical part all done, and I found that trying to reach the gas in the where it used to be back where the garage is, and the new inlet on the back of the house. I either need more electrical cord or more gas lines, because I can't quite do both. And then it would be really, messy. I'd have the gas line running from the garage up and the electrical line running from the house back, and the generator would be sitting somewhere in between, kind of trip hazard all over. So I got to get the gas line coming out the back of the house. Now, that'll be better anyhow, because I thought about converting my grill over to that, my propane grill. And it'd be nice having it right in the back of the house there where it would be convenient.
That ABDF, I've looked at those. Those would be pretty slick to be able to just turn your grill on whenever you want instead of messing with propane. But, yeah, do it right. That's what I always say, instead of dragging cords all over the place. That's the main reason I put that back feed in on my house, because I got sick of running extension cords, tripping over them and stuff coming unplugged, you not realizing it, and having to keep the door cracked, messing up the weather stripping, all that fun stuff. Are you doing your own gas work?
Uh-huh.
that's one thing I'm not dabbled with yet. I'm hoping I don't have to. I don't think I'm going to have to, but the old house, I did not touch any of the gas. I did everything else.
Pretty easy. The tough part is, where you cut the bends and the elbows and the length of pipe right if you've got to, negotiate a path. And I'm pretty lucky I don't have to do that. I've got a union, and everything is in about a 5-foot section on a black pipe beyond that union, and then that's the end of it. So I've got literally one connection to the main line, and that 5-foot pipe has all these old, ridiculous dowels on it that need replacing, so I could almost make the whole, well, not really, but it's a simple job. If I had to, navigate, down here, then make a 90 and go down there and then go through a hole and all that, I'd probably hire it out because I'm just not good at that.
I think I could figure out the gas lines. My bigger concern would be making sure they were sealed properly, so that's why I haven't really had the need. The old house, I had a couple old ones that I got rid of, but I was too afraid to mess with them. But yeah, if you're running straight runs or 90s, I think you got it under control. We actually, our old house, it was a step down into the breezeway from the kitchen, and we built a giant fence gate, whatever the hell it's called, out of gas pipe and 8x8 barn beams, and that was the extent of my gas pipe experience. Where are you at? You got a weird whine.
I am at 16 in Grossbeck, and I was on TJ's machine downtown. I just switched over to the UMP, so should be... Well, I don't know. Whine is odd. So is it still there?
Nope, it's gone now. You're getting a little rough, and you had it was a weird high-pitched whine in the background. I wasn't sure if it was my speaker or you, and then he came back that second time, and I heard it again. So I don't know if it's something between you and that machine or if it's something on that machine.
I don't know. Oh, man, anybody else in here this morning? Ah, boy. Going to get my coffee here in a little bit. Get in, get the day started, all that good stuff. A little ahead of schedule. It's always nice being ahead of schedule. Makes it less rushed to get in and get started. But anybody else? We haven't heard, where's Anthony been? Is he already at work?
Yeah, I haven't heard him in a while. I text Anthony more than I talk to him on the radio now. Which there's nothing wrong with that. And then Phil, I've not heard Phil in forever either. Same thing, I text him, I talk to him on the air. I don't know if we've just got a weird commute time, everyone's later in the day or earlier in the day or what, but it seems like it's just you and I out here and occasionally the Donald.
Yeah. Well, I know
Anthony over there. And then Nick's coming over from the other. But, yeah, I noticed that Anthony's starting earlier, so, he's in by the time we roll. And so you, me, Donald, Murph's been out here a lot of mornings lately, which is cool. Murphy's one of them guys that he goes on sabbatical from talking on FM for, decades. Then he reappears for a minute, and then you never know, could be gone for another decade.
It is funny how there's spurts of what you do in radio, if you do radio, although you're pretty damn consistent. I feel like you're always on FM.
Yeah, I usually have them on, so if I hear something, I try to answer, but, it's what I do. And, I put up repeaters, right? And so I'm always listening to them, just in case there's any issues or anything like that. So, yepers.
for what it's worth.
E4ZYQ.
Go ahead, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm out here most mornings. If I wake up early enough and catch one crew going to work at 5, another crew about a half hour ago, and you guys are the other group that's kind of doing your thing. So I hear you out there, but I don't try to interrupt too much, not sure if it's a open welcome to anybody and everybody, but I may bore people, so I don't know. I'm not working, so I'm retired, so I don't have too much to talk. I think that was Sean, was it? Who was that over there? KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. Morning, Joe.
I say that while I'm in line at Starbucks. It's serendipitous, I guess. Is that the right word? I don't know. Anyhow, got Dakota, myself, and Steve. Donald was out here for 1 minute, but he was just saying hi, bye. Just talking about nothing. What do you know about cars, Joe? I know you worked in the human realignment. Did you ever do any cars? Got any knowledge of cars and why they might be puffing a little blue smoke? I've never heard you talk about auto mechanics, so I doubt it. I'm just being funny. Murph, you back in here or Dakota?
Joe, don't be shy. We don't bite. We're usually just out here rambling. Go ahead. I know Sean had a car question.
Guys, I could never claim to be KE4ZYQ. I never could claim to be a mechanic kind of guy like some people are natural, and they've done it all their life when they started driving or whatever, or even before they started driving, some work on cars. But I've done a little bit dabbling. In fact, let's see. Geez, I think it was last summer. I had an OBD port reading that my camshaft sensor needed to be replaced. So I looked it up, saw how to replace it on YouTube. I got a metric foreign car. So I don't have metric tools. So I had to ingenuity, take the old one out, the sensor. Find out where it was first, take it out, buy a new one on Amazon, put the exact one back in, and dang if it didn't work fine. So if you call that being somewhat of a shade tree mechanic, I guess I participate a little bit. But I couldn't claim to know much about cars in a deep sense.
Well, I'm kind of the same way. I know just enough to be dangerous. And I think that could be actually taken literally. So, dealing with your car, some things can be dangerous, right? But I just got this work car puffing some blue smoke, and just got me scratching my head. Runs great, always starts, always runs. But does it portend something a little bit more? You know, troublesome coming down the pike. You never know. That was all. That and generators and electric and all that good stuff. It makes me think. I know you're a big fan of batteries there, Joe. I got this unit, and instead of being all one unit, this unit, like you would mount it to the wall, and then you would put as many a bank of as many batteries as you want. It would charge those and then invert and run off those. It's kind of a large, like, installed system in that. I keep meaning to look into that and see if that thing would be worth hooking up at home, kind of like you do with the that little box you got there. If nothing else, it would work for me as a really good UPS. Right, Dakota? If you have some sort of electrical, you know, some battery, isn't that what a UPS is? An inverter that runs off batteries for a certain amount of time?
That's correct. I'm actually building one out right now for my server room. So it's going to be fed by 207-volt power, and then it goes into it's an inverter to charge the batteries, which I can build that bank out as big as I want.
depending on how much runtime I want, and then it converts it again. Is it another inverter? I don't know. So it basically goes from 207 into the battery, and then it converts it to 110 for the servers. But, yeah, no, those things are they're sweet, especially if you got the room for it, and you can run a bunch of crap off of it. The thing is, though, it depends on the battery chemistry, because if it's a lead acid, you're not going to get a whole lot of power out of it.
KE4CYQ in the group. Yeah, I'm in the batteries. Over time, I just couldn't stand not having some backup, and I'm in a condo, obviously, and I can't, it's not recommended, or at least against the rules, to have any gas generators, like in your garage for safety and all that. So I can understand that. Didn't no problem with that. So I got the battery backup systems that are chargeable by AC, if you have it, to keep them charged and topped off when you need them, or even solar. And I even have a converter that I got years ago and thought about, you know, as a last resort, if I had to charge my backup batteries for sub pump or whatever else, refrigerator, radio, I could take this converter for my car, and I could run my car, get the exhaust out the garage, and run the converter on the car to charge a battery up if I really desperately had to have some way to do it. But yeah, I like battery backups. In fact, you guys just reminded me, every once or twice a month, I run all my radio system off battery, off the grid for the whole day, at least the whole day, and run it down and see how it works. And I do that with solar charging at the same time. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, I wonder what the, you know, doing something like you're doing there, Dakota, I wonder what the, you know, there's got to be some point at which you move from UPS to that. Like, you know, is it calculated on how many, you know, how many devices, how much time, runtime you want, how much, at what point do you say, you know what, this would be better if I did something like that, you know, something like a UPS? Because, you know, a UPS, if I just, you know, because I'm thinking right now, I want to keep my tape, you know, my internet, my computer, and my routers, you know, all that's the stuff that I want to keep all on that. You know, it's sensitive equipment that requires inverter power, and you know, I don't want to be hit by brownouts and things like that. I may or may not have some radio gear on that. I suppose I could. But I suppose if I was going to have the, I suppose if you hit a capacity, a certain capacity at that point, it makes sense to look at something like that. But if I could do it all with UPSs, I wonder if it's just not wiser to just do that cheaper. I'm not sure what the proper verbiage is, but a UPS, it's pretty much the intent is to provide you enough time to properly shut down the equipment, not necessarily run off of it. I forgot what do they call it? Battery generator, solar, not a solar, I have like one of those little blue eddies, right? And I forgot what the hell they call that. But it acts as a UPS if you want it to, but that's not its purpose. Its purpose is to provide power for whatever you're trying to run. So a UPS is for protection and shutdown time. And then whatever the battery generator, I got to look it up.
Dakota, I think I heard that too on the EcoFlow has one that can be used as a UPS, which means that milliseconds can compensate for a power outage, and is a backup power system with AC outputs and USB outputs and whatever. Just a matter of keeping it charged and having any kind of surge protection on your power line that goes to the AC for the general function or charging of it. So but they've got a lot of regulations, or regulators, I should say, in these units to keep it from overcharging, you know, all the safeguards that they put into these. And I heard a ham radio guy say once, I can build all that myself. I said, for the amount of parts you got to gather together, all the function that these pre-made, the EcoFlows and different ones have, it costs you more to make one from scratch than to buy the one they already made. Because they put them on sale for like $500 off sometimes. Over to you, Sean.
I suppose that's the key is, you know, how much would it cost for you to build one versus getting one. Hey, I'm just walking in the door. Let me switch over to the portable. So I should be transitioned by the time it comes back around. Go to...
Yeah, they call them solar generators or portable power stations. But I know Blue Eddy's got a system, kind of like what I was talking about, where you buy, like, the core battery and the charging unit, and then you can daisy-chain more batteries together. And I know Tesla does something similar, too, but I'm sure that costs a fortune. But I told my wife, I'm like, once this house, the yard, and all that crap's done, I'm going to start building out a big battery bank in the basement just to run, you know, if I could get a day of runtime for everything but, like, the air off of batteries, I think that would be phenomenal. Because then I wouldn't even have to pull up a generator.
Dakota, after my investigation, which I don't claim to be Mr. Expert, but I looked at a lot of different battery backup systems, you know, portable units that you can use in the home, and there's... The EcoFlow I found to be the most efficient, the most reliable, the most cost-efficient one. Wasn't too extraordinary, not too hard to transport, and they got different units, depending on how big you want to go. And the bigger ones have dollies, two-wheel dollies, if you have to move it from one place to the room to another. And I'm not talking about huge, but they're pretty heavy with the bigger ones that can run more amp hours, but... I found those to be pretty good, and you got most of the ones like I have, 3,000 charging cycles, which means it can last approximately 10 years, so it might outlive me. Back to you.
See if we got Sean back yet.
Yeah, I just switched over to the Cisco, so let me know if it sounds all right. But, yeah, I would... Mine is something like you're doing, Dakota, some sort of a device when I could use, you know, solar, wind, AC, whatever, to charge, you know, a bank of batteries as large as I want with the idea to run certain stuff for, you know, let's say I get, you know, I could get, like all my sites are designed to run, they run off 48 volts. And so we have these powered DC plants. And everything's designed to run a minimum of 8 hours. That means that, I mean, we have generators, right? So you know, the generators fire up. But if we don't, that gives us, you know, at least 8 hours to, you know, get a generator out there, figure out what's going on, go to the site, something like that. But, you know, it gives you the luxury of having 8 hours of runtime. And, you know, you could double, triple, quadruple the battery banks if you wanted. I don't know if I want to do that. Because the batteries are expensive, you know, and they have to be replaced. Not as often as I thought, though. I thought about something like that, just for my critical stuff, but, you know, then how far do you go, right? Do I want the refrigerator on that? So, you know, I don't run the risk of burning that up, but, you know, now you're talking about a big load. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be a slippery slope, especially if it's modular and all you have to do is keep adding cells. But the plus side to Joe, yeah, I was looking at the EcoFlows, and I think DJI is coming out with one, but I don't know how their ban is affecting everything. But yeah, that's the other nice thing too is you could have all those wired in, and then still put solar panels on the roof to charge this stuff DC instead of AC if you're actually draining them and still running off the battery packs. So there's a lot of stuff you can do with them, and that battery technology, it seems like it continues to improve, which is a beautiful thing because I remember back in early 2000s, nothing lasted. You know, RC cars were still nickel metal hydride and all that crap, and just low density energy. But I'm here. I got to jump out and get going here, and I hope everyone has a good day. This is a good conversation. I'm gonna go do some research actually. So I'll catch everyone later. I'll listen out. NADBF.
7-3 Dakota. You have a good day, and thanks for letting me jump in and be a ride along with you guys. Over to you, Sean. KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, okay, Joe. Yeah, I start here in about 5 minutes, and I just sat down at my desk, so I'm probably going to pull the plug here, too, and get a jump on what's going on here this morning. as people start wandering in. But, I'm going to look up some of this stuff, I think, here when I get some time, and I'll probably have more questions on the drive home or tomorrow's drive-in, who knows. But I am here, so I'm going to make this my last. Take care, guys. W8FU.
And talk about batteries. I still have a Gold Zero Yeti 1000. I don't even know if they make those anymore. That thing's hanging in there, still working, so I hope I don't jinx myself. KE4ZYQ clear.
I think he moved to Thailand and changed his name to Kiki.
Sorry, I missed that. I had too many things going on here. WADD.
W-A-B-E-S. Oh, really? What's up, Bruce?
Good morning. I am taking my dog into the vet for her checkup. This will be a free one. Get her leg checked out, make sure it's healing up good. She's doing a lot better. I think she's going to be fine. Not much going on today. It's a beautiful day. I should go do something. What was I going to say? I don't know. Hang on. I'll think of it.
Maybe something to do with your VoIP MS. Anyhow, yeah, I'm just working here. I got tomorrow off. I got some work to do around the house, but maybe a good day to do some FA.
Hey, that was it. I was going to mention maybe we could do some FA. That's funny. Yeah, the phone part still isn't working. I did a, there's a reboot selection in the menu. I did that just for the heck of it, but it didn't seem to matter. Something interesting, though, the voicemail seems to work on the phone. It seems to recognize that I've got a voicemail. The light pops on. That's what that change in the symbol is when it turns red with an off hook. I think it's telling me I've got a voicemail. The only way I could clear the voicemails and listen to them was to call in on my cell phone and put in the voicemail code, and then I can listen to the messages and delete them accordingly. But yeah, still no ringing of the phone when I call into it, and no outgoing calls at all. I can't figure out what it is.
Are you hitting pound to hang up?
Yes, I hit pound to hang up. I'm hitting pound now.
Okay, we're going phone to phone. I'm not sure why. I thought I would hear the, I thought I heard the courtesy tone come back or something, but maybe I'm not remembering. All right, anyhow, I was just curious how that was working. So what's the, if your VoIP MS line shows, you know, just a white on hook, what's the color of the button? Is it green or is it orange?
It's green. It it turns orange and when I try to either make a call, it turns orange and stays orange for a few minutes. Then it goes back to green.
That's really weird because if it's green, that means you're registered. So the phone is actually provisioned and registered. So why it does that just is kind of baffling. Weird. I'll try calling it just for fun. But I don't think I know your number, though. Whatever.
I just sent you a text with my VoIP.
Okay, what happened there?
That was interesting. It indicated that that line was ringing. That's the first time I've seen that. And it, instead of a ring, because I was on the hub connection, it just made a buzz noise or a beep noise. And it says, do you want to ignore or answer on the push buttons? So I pushed answer, and I said hello, but I didn't see any, but I didn't hear anything.
Okay, let's clear out of here, and let me call you back again, see if you can pick it up. And let's disconnect here, and then I'll try calling you. WFU.
Okay. WABES, clear.
KJOWABD. KKKKONWABD. You playing hooky today? I'm working from home. I got good news for you. I got your VHF radio done. My UHF, and then I gotta get another antenna. UHFs don't need antennas. Coast hanger work just fine.
So does a limp noodle.
Long as the noodle is metal.
Yeah, I want to use that one in, let's see if I can find a Pelican case. I got a 17 amp hour battery. Kind of mess around and maybe turn it into a go box.
Yeah, well, I put all the air PSC simplex channels in it too. And this thing's 50 watts. So, and it's a true 50 watt.
That'll work. Yeah, if you're going to do that as a go box and then just get a, order another, either a mag mount or something off of a DXE and put some connectors on it and tighten it all down or whatever, see how that goes.
Yeah, I think it'll be in pretty good shape with it. So, but she's all set, ready to go. She's sitting there blinking right now. I put the, I think it's WAS, St. Clair County SEC in there too, so it's nice. There's another one that's lit up, WAKUL, so I put everything that I could find in it. And, I mean, there's like 16 channels and the calling channel and then all the backup simplex channels for ARPS.
Cool. Yeah, I'm trying to get my coworker to get his GMRS. Yes, I got to reprogram this one. So that way we can talk on the repeaters as we're driving throughout the state.
You got a 2-meter with you?
Yeah, my Alinco.
Well, let's do a quick test on 147-200. And then I gotta get out of here.
Alright, it's a little staticky, but I can hit the tower still. I'm at 696 in Orchard Lake.
ADATR.
Taking your lunch break?
I had lunch. It's on my way to work.
Oh. Hey, Phil.
Some stuff done.
Yeah.
Look up Unication U3.
I'm not at work right now. What about it?
Check it out and tell me what you can about it.
Okay, so here, just send me a text or with the model number and whatever, so I don't forget. So I got this Kenwood Mobile that came in, and trying to work on something with it. It seems to work and everything, but I can't seem to program a conventional bandwidth of 25 kilohertz. It only gives me 12.5, so I'm a little concerned about that. I think there's something in the firmware that needs to be updated.
You're talking about for analog stuff, right? Usually it's an entitlement key or something you have to get. I don't know how Kenwood does it, but you know, with Motorola, it's called entitlements. You got to modify your software to allow it to program it. I don't know, again, how Kenwood does it.
Yeah, I don't know either. I got the radio with me, and the guy at work who knows these things. Hopefully we'll know what to do.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, hello to you, fine sir.
I was just listening to you guys. You know, every time you and Phil chit-chat back and forth, your DJ, your friend and stuff, I learn something new every day when you guys chit-chat, so sometimes I just like to sit back and listen. I learn that way. GZKDO, go ahead, Phil.
Well, that's our job, to educate the public. So I'm glad you're learning something and not just saying, oh, God, there they go again. So, all right. Beautiful day. Just cruising along. So, Sean, there was something else I was going to ask you. Can't remember. Oh, well.
Well, think of it over the course of the next minute or so. I got to jump out in the car. I got to go grab myself some lunch here. I'll be out in the car in a few minutes. Catch you then. WAFE.
Go ahead, Tom.
That sounds like an idea. I got to stop and find me lunch. And yeah, so since I met you and the rest of the group through FBI and Highland and Hazel Park, ARC and stuff like that, in these past, 6 months, 7 months, something like that, I have learned more in this entire time than I have the entire time I've been on the radio. So I appreciate you guys 150% on everything that you're teaching me and doing for me.
Well, that's kind of the fun of all these new things you got going on, is learning new stuff. And, you know, I never was into the P-25 stuff for a long time, and now I'm into it. I'm trying to learn everything I can about it. Whatever good that's going to do me, but that's, you know, till the next fun thing comes along.
Yeah, I got to find a decent P-25 and get dabbling in that vast space there. See how that goes. I like some of the radios that I saw at the last breakfast meet, but they're a little bit more out of my price range, so I got to find something that's decently priced that I can put in my budget.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be a little pricey. And not like finding retrievers on Amazon or anything like that. What system are you going through right now?
I've been playing around with 175 when I'm cruising around on the west side here. I haven't been down river yet to test at that area. Yours I hit up in Novi, so that one's got a really good footprint too. But right now I'm on M14 and coming up on Sheldon. So I'm over here in the Plymouth area.
Oh, okay, I'd be curious how you do from there. You know, switch over to 2.5 just so I can hear what it's doing. Yeah, I'm not quite making it. Oh well. Noisy but comfortable. You must have been down in that valley.
Down in right down in 14 where it's at little here before Sheldon. So yeah, I can hear your people. Yeah. I'm not crying, but still audible.
Yeah, it's very comfortable now. Probably the same as you're hearing it, is what I'm hearing it.
You're really clear. Well, I'm, of course, with a little bit of static, but like I said, being down in this area, I'm probably just hitting the outer edges of your footprint.
Yeah, now you're absolutely solid. Getting up on that higher ground, I know exactly where you are.
silverware. That way it gives me a pretty good idea where I need to stay when I'm traveling.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that Detroit system, I guess, works really well, too. So, I mean, you were absolutely solid in there.
Yeah, here I am back on the Detroit Tower.
Yeah, really solid. Does a good job over that way. Oh, I know what I was going to ask, Sean. I'm listening. You got the, you needed to fix the issue at dot 6.
Here's up there.
I think I double with you. Yeah, I was going to say, if, I was going to ask Sean why if he got the parts you needed to fix that router. So, here and there. Sean, jump back in.
NAWOT Mobile.
NHLY, NHLY from NHASB.
All right, WFSM test UHF one.
WAW.
Yep, I got you on UHF one.
Okay. Looks like we're golden.
Okay, back to the job, WFSM.
Back to school. KCAKJOWAVD.
Everything all back up to snuff.
Snuff, sniff, you name it. Yeah, all back online. So, WAMAC, the ARPSC satellite receiver, the ARSPC backup frequency, all back up and running.
Excellent. Well done.
As I drive by Planet Fitness with much guilt, because I haven't been there in a while.
A few more drive-bys, you'll get in there. That's how it works.
You know, in the winter, it makes sense, you know. It's cold and snow and all that stuff. You can get in there, but it makes more sense in the summer. Because, I mean, drop dead of heat exhaustion. What is this knucklehead doing? Oh, my God. What is it with these people today? This must be the Chucklehead Driving School class of 2025 or something. I don't know.
Running into a bunch of them today. My wife says the next step after driving by and feeling guilty is to drive there and park in the parking lot and take a car nap.
Oh, I like that, because then you can legitimately say, yeah, I just got back from Planet Fitness.
And you actually feel better afterward, too, because you got a nap.
Yep. Oh, man, just got done at Planet Fitness, got 20 minutes in. I'm like a new man, ready for the day.
That's the way to do it. Sounds like a good plan. KE8VSI.
And now, how much would you spend? Anyhow, all right, so we're back online. Keep an eye on it. When Jeff told me look for water in the connector, I'm like, get out of here. I go in there and I look real quick. It's everything dry in the cabinet and by the thing, but if I pull the connector out and I look real close, I'm like, oh my God, you're kidding me. So I cleaned it all up really good with some blue stuff and a brush and all that. Checked it out real close with a magnifying. That looked good, so put a bigger drip loop in. Had a good drip loop, clearly not enough. Cut the jacket open so that even if it did make it to the drip loop, couldn't get back up. And so hopefully we're never going to see that again.
It's weird that you had a drip loop and it got past it. So good to know. And and a good thing Jeff mentioned that, because I'm sure you would have found it eventually. But if it was hard to spot, then at least you got to it quicker.
Well, you know, there's 100 plus foot up of that Cat 6 cable, and it's that stuff with the hard plastic jacket. It's shielded. So there's a little space in there. It's not like some of your normal stuff. It's a little space for water. And because it's so high, you know, it has gravity working for it. So the drip loop was down below, and it only went about 10, 12 inches down and 10, 12 inches up. Well, with all the pressure coming from up above, it could clearly push past that. That's what I'm thinking. And but who the thunk?
Okay, now I got a better picture. Yeah, all right, that makes sense. And that's why you cut the jacket, too. So, all right, I get it.
Yeah, that way if it comes down again and it does make it to the drip loop, it can't go back up. It just drips onto the floor. So I don't get the impression there was a lot. It's not that, like there was a pedal, it's like moisture, you know, but enough moisture to booger up the contacts and cause things to go oopy. So, and anywho, so things are back online, and hopefully they won't happen again. But I gotta go check all the other sites we did, because now I'm paranoid.
Make a checklist for each time you visit a site to take a look at that. So my question is, was there actually equipment damage then I think you, that was going to the PPOE injector. Did you replace that, or was it recoverable?
No, the PPOE injector, the POE injector was toast, and I'm not sure if I could have poofed the router too, because could I absolutely be sure that I didn't have the cables in the wrong port at one point when I was playing around with it? So there was a issue with one of the ports of the router. I think, I don't know. We switched the ports and now it's back up and running, so we may have a snuff port on that thing. But I'm not saying that because I think I did it. I'm just saying it because I'm trying to think of all the possibilities how that port got snuffed, because I didn't see any moisture or sign of problems. Because that's the other side of the POE injector. There's no way it could have got in that line.
Okay. It'd be weird that you kill the router port. I don't know why I said PPOE. Sorry, POE. But, all right. Well, cool biz, and you know what to check for at the other sites, and on we go.
J8, are you H?
Hello, Anthony. Is it Prince Spaghetti Day? No, it's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. How you guys doing?
I am doing well, just kind of hanging out, getting little things done here today. Sean got some bigger things done. I assume you're on your way home.
I am, and I happened to come across today, maybe it was yesterday, a couple of XPR 7550s. The cases are in pretty rough shape, but I got two of them to power on, and I got some batteries on the charger. So I think I got to find a programming cable. Do you guys have any recommendations of what I should be looking for? Can I just go buy a Chinese one from Amazon, or should I get something different?
Great radios. Make sure they're UHF. Because they're of little, you know, much less use if they're a VHF. You can, but, you want to talk to on that is a Wally. Wally is kind of the local expert on those.
All right, cool. I'll try to send him a message on either Discord or whatever the other, Telegram, see what his opinion is on the cable. I'd like to stay cheap on it, because I think I'm going to have to buy some cases and figure out how to recase them. They are definitely UHF. So if I can scrounge some parts and make a couple good ones out of a couple bad ones, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I just pulled up in the driveway, so let me jump in here, Greg, sorry. But I would get a hold of him on Discord or on the radio. I don't think he has Telegram anymore, and I don't check mine all that often. I very rarely go there. So, Discord is the surefire way to get a hold of him or I outside of the radio or texting, obviously. But I think he actually deleted his Telegram account, so... All right, I'm here in the drive. I got to get inside. I'll be back on in a bit. Greg, W8FU.
Get in there. Yeah, I don't have much knowledge on that sort of stuff, Anthony. Wally will definitely know, and he's always around. You know that. So, well, good luck with it. Sounds like you'll be able to make something, one or two or however many good radios. I know... KFAS Dave did a recasing on his 5000, and it turned out pretty good. So he might be a resource as well.
Yeah, I watched a video, a YouTube video this afternoon on doing it, and it looked, I don't want to say it looked hard, it looked tedious. So I'll just have to be in the right headspace when I start, otherwise I'll get frustrated and walk away from it. But, yeah, the cases, you can buy the knockoff cases off Amazon for $25. And they're solid little radios. The ones that I did find, they're, like I said, they're in rough shape and they're working excellent. So, I think that's what those Motorola radios are all about. So just got to spend some time, want to figure out how to program and go from there. We'll see. They should be cool. But, to finally find some UHF, it'd be nice if they were UHF P25, but instead they're UHF DMR, and I'll be able to make something happen with them.
Okay, yeah, that's the impression I got, too, was tedious, and I would be the same as you. I'll only do it when you feel like it, because then it won't be any big deal. But if you're in a hurry or not quite in a headspace, like you said, put it off. Wait till you are. And okay, so UHF DMR. I didn't realize that they had that as well. So, but cool biz. Another fun project. You know, it's all the tinkering, and it's always cool when you get that.
Yep. On to the next super confusing thing that I have to figure out. So I was telling people there, like, oh, why do you like doing this? Like, oh, because I'm always super confused. I've never felt more out of my, in over my head than I have since I've been playing with this stuff, which is fun and very frustrating at times.
Agreed. Some people do jigsaw puzzles. We take on technical puzzles and figure them out. And then you get the T-shirt, or you get it operational, and it feels good. So there you go.
Yep. Where are you at? You already home?
No more drive time for me. I'm retired. Yeah, been sitting home, getting just a bunch of little silly stuff done, made a couple appointments, did a little projects around the house, not much else. Got the lawn done by 9:30 this morning, because I hate to heat when I'm doing work, and so I got that out of the way. I'll do the trimming and edging tomorrow. The weather's been great. I love it.
Yeah, if we can have this heat without the humidity, I love it too. It's just when you get that oppressive humidity that will make you crazy.
I agree completely. I completely avoid those days going outside. It's just not even worth it.
Yeah, I got out of the office a little early today because I went over, we have got in a bunch of old point-and-shoot cameras. So I went over to Woodward Camera, and they had some interest in them and bought 18 cameras from me, which was pretty cool.
Wow, that's great. I know there's a lot of vintage cameras that can carry some value, but a lot of times you find that they don't carry as much as you think. Because, cameras are some of those things that people just never throw away. So there tends to be a lot of them laying around. It's just a matter of getting them in the right hands. But if you got a bunch and we're able to offload them, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting. These probably 10, 15-year-old point-and-shoot digital cameras are, like, cool again. So they're holding value. So it was great. You know, I sold 18 of them for probably, I'll tell you, way more than I thought I would. So that was pretty awesome. You know, I probably thought I would get half of what I did if I was lucky. So it was cool. It would be nice to have a sale like that on the first day of the month, that's for sure.
Very good. Got more than you were expecting. Even better. I got one. I got to figure out what year it is. It's 10 to 15 years old. It's a Sony. I didn't realize you were talking about digital, and it's in perfect shape, and I'm sure it's pretty darn good. Not the high megapixel like today's are, but at the time it was, when I bought it, it was super top notch. I wonder if that's got any value.
It might, probably not as much value as you think if you bought it brand new. They don't hold anywhere near the retail value, but, you know, more than you'd think for a 10, 15-year-old camera. But, yeah, the film cameras have some value, too. Those are really boom or bust, though. They're either worth thousands of dollars, or they're worth $100, or they're worth zero. So those are pretty interesting, and it's really based on demand and who made them. You know, there's some higher end, you know, you get into the Leicas or something like that, where they're worth thousands, or if you get some of the, I think it's the Canon AE-1, you know, stuff like that with a lens or two, those are worth like $100. Sometimes if they're super clean, you can find somebody sell it retail for $200. But there's so many of them out there, and film has gotten extremely expensive, and processing is extremely expensive also.
Roger that. Yeah, I'm aware of the 81 and the likes and the different values and all that. A lot of times you get the super geeks that are into the film stuff. They'll do their own processing. But getting the film, like you said, that's going to cost you no matter what. So, and that's if you want to use it. Some people just collect them. They don't even use them. So there's a collectible value on some of them. This rarity is where the value comes in for those, though.
Yeah, a few years back, I got really into film photography and I was processing color and black and white at home, which was a lot of fun, but, you know, just got, had a couple high-end digital cameras and just got away from it and haven't really got back into it. So I have some collectible film cameras that I'll never shoot. Probably none of them have too much value. And then I have a couple nicer ones that, you know, are worth over a couple $100, but nothing like a Leica or, you know, one of the high-end Minoltas or anything like that. But it's fun stuff if you can get into it and are willing to bear the cost of it.
Roger that. I knew a bit about it back in the day, but I never really did it. I've observed it being done, the processing and all that, but never was really my bag. And then the digital stuff came out, and I never had to even consider it again. But cool, if you got some stuff, that's cool.
Yep. So, all right, you know what? I'm almost home, and I gotta get on the phone. Unfortunately, although I'm in the car, my work day's not actually over. So I gotta make a couple work phone calls, and then I'll be back out here. Hopefully in a little while. So I'll catch up with you a little later. It's K8RUH.
All right, very good. Get it done. K8BSI.
A few AB here.
Hey, Baylor. Headed home.
What's your story?
On my way.
Where are you coming from?
Auburn Hills. I'm almost to the start of construction.
I'm just north end of Franklin here, so. Still gotta go to Fred's. Unless you think it's quicker for you to go there.
It might be. So you're about 30 minutes away. I'm probably about 10 minutes away. I could run to Fred's. I don't have an 800 on me though.
Well, that's all right. I can talk to you here.
Yeah, the heavy ones listening here, though. Hey,
amateur radio.
Oh.
site back up, Sean, after it's been down for months?
Yeah, well, I had to fix your mess up.
Wasn't my mess up. I didn't do that install.
Yeah, but, you know, you should have told us how to do those cables. It's on you, man.
It's not on me. Except I didn't do the install. I wasn't even aware that install was being done until after it was done.
You didn't check their work?
You had to change the end too, right, Sean?
No, I was able to clean it up. Looked fine. Anyhow, just pulled up. Got to get inside. Got to crack out the tape measure and start another project. W8 if you...
All right, well, if you want to come to Mount Holly, you can help there. We're on our way there. Came in SWR.
Check your slack, Jeff.
Driving.
Hey, you doing?
Go ahead.
I'm coming up on 98 now. Yes, it's going to be faster for me to go to the Grand Blanc Depot.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just South Franklin.
Alright, I'll head there.
Alright, KBSWR.
Test 1-2. Test. AVAPR.
Holly or Peter?
Our main is just one.
good, and then you're not. I get about half of that out.
Well, this is 775. I'm not sure where it's at, but I just moved over to it from the Hotly repeater.
This is your by Lapeer, maybe Mayville.
Yeah, I just passed the Lapeer exit, heading eastbound, trying to meet up for the rest stop that's up here. But I'm on 443775. I'm not sure where this one's located, but a little bit clear.
Yeah, I think that's Mayville. You should be good for Lapeer, then.
Yeah, I think it is with Mayville. I'm just trying to remember where the gall darn rest stop is up here. I'm at, like, Wilder Road. I know it's around here somewhere.
Yeah, not sure. I don't go that way that often.
You got a message me on Discord about, what location you saw one of the guys at. I'm just wondering, I have to look it up and see if I can see if that was my office that did it.
I would think so. It's pretty close there. But, he had the Johnson Control shirt on. What was going on, but I went to go leave the suite, and the door wouldn't open. The magnet was holding the door still. But, it was a double door. I went to the other door and opened just fine.
Yeah, I'd like to find out. See, it might be one of the legacy guys if you have an older system over there.
Not sure what they got there. Knowing the company is probably stuff that Iacocca picked out still.
Be right back. I'm going to hit this rest stop real quick. KCKQ.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, how you doing?
W8FU.
Wasabi! Oh, just out running around. Had to go pick up a script. My wife says I got a script ready. I go pick it up. I no sooner get home and sit down, my phone rings. I got a script ready. Oh. So did that and went to Harbor Freight, picked up some stuff for some work tomorrow. Stopped at the Asian market, picked up some
some stuff that my wife really likes. Just bopping around. And I got to figure out what to eat at some point.
ESK.
N8NM. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to say hello to Sean there, and I'd like to bend your ear a little bit sometime this week, Sean, if you have some time, if you could stop by or we could talk on the phone. Is that a possibility?
Well, Len, I'm going to tell you, I used to get the nuns would grab my ears when I was little, so I don't know if I'd like my ear bent, but yeah, we could do something like that. You just got to be easy on the ears.
Boy, that's a sore spot there. I know I got the ruler on the knuckles for going outside the lines when I was trying to color it. My first day in the kindergarten, I got the ruler on the knuckles because I went outside the line. I can empathize with that one, for sure. Okay, it's about the dark. You came to me at the restaurant there and offered your help, and right now I need to talk to you. So appreciate it. Let me know what the time's the best, and I'd appreciate it. Sean?
I am like 2 blocks from your house over at Briarwood and Elmhurst. So, how's now?
Perfect, perfect. See you soon.
All right, I gotta find my way around this goofy subdivision. What up, Steve?
Yeah, just chilling, looking for something to watch since the ball game got rained out. Excuse me. And I also, I have to go pick up prescriptions, but I don't think I'm going to do it tonight. I just don't feel like it.
I got to bore a big old hole through my base plate in the house, and it was much thicker than I had thought. So I went to Harbor Freight and bought one of their use it once. It cost you enough so if you get one use out of it, you don't lose any sleep. And let's see here. I think I'm pretty sure I'm like, man, I'm just about on top of Len's house. But this subdivision messes me up. I know it when I see it. I think when I turn this next corner, I'm going to see it. Westwood. Pretty sure. I got to go up here a little bit. Anywho, yeah, so. Is that it? Yep. Yes, there's the antennas. I'm here.
Bingo! Alrighty then. Well, enjoy your visit. We'll catch up with you later. N8NM.
Yeah, I'll be around a little later. I got to figure out what I want for some food and drink. I'm off tomorrow doing some yard or home work with Danny. Len, I'm outside. I'm out on the side. Do you want me to come around the front? Here he comes. Davier. W8FU. Anyone copy ABAPR?
ADATR, this is KS8DPZ. I copy you loud and clear. I got you 5x9 off the repeater.
Okay, we're going to test out a new radio, just to make sure it works. The audio sound, does the audio sound like a good level?
Yep, I can make out everything you're saying. You're nice and clear. Maybe a little bit of a volume boost in there, but then again, that could just be my hearing. You sound absolutely fine to me.
Okay, very good. Appreciate the response. Thank you so much. ABA Pierre.
Oh. You're welcome. Anytime. KF8DBZ standing by.
KF8DAT, monitoring.
KF8DIC.
Repeat that.
KF8DPZ, standing by.
NAWOT.